We're in dark times, Tanya.
How dark are the times?
So dark, it's this after Halloween, before the other things that'll happen.
Yeah.
This Midland time where it's cold, and you got, I guess, a food holiday to look forward to if you celebrate that one, but is that really a holiday? So many people dread the feeling.
Oh, not me.
Oh, yeah? You like the Thanksgiving holiday?
I was just thinking, Jonathan's saying this is the dark times. I'm like, this is the best times. I woke up this morning and I was like, these are my favorite times where it's not pleasant. I'm just going back to my youth, my goth days.
So the darkness, yeah. The coldness.
Oh, yeah.
The emptiness.
Bleakness. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You're embracing it?
Oh, yeah. The anticipation of uncomfortable settings with people you sort of know.
Yeah, family, yeah. Sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah,
that's
like,
great.
You know what it is? It's really living.
I mean, it's a real emotional experience, but it's not a ripe and full one. It's sort
of sure can be if you look at it that way. You're thinking this is something to be avoided. I think this is something to be, you know, treasured.
Embrace the dark.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah. I think there was a Spider-Man musical called Turn Off the Dark, which is what I'd rather do. But if you called it Embrace the Dark.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, let's go for it. I can't help it. I just can't help it. Welcome, everybody, to an emergency episode of Talking to Women About Video Games. One of the emergencies that brought this episode into being is my schedule actually got all mixed up, so I can't record at the normal time we normally record. So we pulled an emergency episode to record before our normal time.
Yep.
To make sure you don't miss out on a episode. It would have been a 3-week wait, so you wouldn't have missed out forever, but you would have missed this show for almost a month. Would have been so sad. And we would have missed the opportunity to get very upset about Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt!
I heard that he was in Jews for Jesus. Oh no, that's a red flag and a half. There's an undeniable problem with Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, oh my, no one has snuck up on me in this devilish way like Chris Pratt
Chris
has.
Pratt, yeah.
I took him for granted.
Yeah, I know, and you asked me even, you were like, what do you think about Chris Pratt? And I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, you don't give any thought to Chris Pratt. That's how he gets you.
Yeah, he is insidious.
Exactly, he is.
He has been here this whole time.
He's been here almost as long as I've been alive, hiding in plain sight. And now suddenly he has taken over the entertainment industry. We talked about him a few weeks ago, I think, in relation to him being the voice of Mario in the upcoming Illumination Mario movie, but from the creators of Minions and Despicable Me, Mario. It's very,
doesn't make sense.
It's a real culture clash to me.
Yeah.
Mario is a lot of things. Definitely family-friendly, kid-appropriate, whatever that even means. But Mario is got a certain touch of surreal class to it. It's super weird, Mario. You jump up, you uppercut a block.
Yeah.
Then a mushroom comes out,
and you touch it. You're an Italian plumber.
I know, in a magical world filled with turtles. It's pretty Dolly-esque. Whereas Chris Pratt and the Minions, they're a lot more just like Chuck E. Cheese feeling. It's weird a little bit, but it's very junk food by the numbers. Put a little bit more salt on my fries. Oh, yeah, I'll have a burger with those fries.
It does look like a McDonald's commercial or
doesn't
something.
It already
it's like
feels
fast
that way.
Foody, the colors.
Yeah, Chris Pratt is fast foodie.
He is. He's like a fast food human. He's going to hit those projects, do them up quick.
Yeah.
They're not going to be fantastic, but you'll eat them time and time again.
Exactly. And he is more than that in a bad way, in a lot of ways. And before I go on with these Chris Pratt complaints, these print.
That doesn't work.
Not at all. I want to point out that there's this phenomena where people do work that is the same as their names. And I can't remember the name of it, which is ironic, but there's a phenomena where, for instance, my last name, as you may know, is Holmes.
Right.
And for a little while, I was helping people find new homes.
Yeah.
It's not a job I necessarily wanted to do, but I was chosen to do the job. And I did the job, and I did pretty good at it. So it's not just like, oh, my last name is Baker, and I come from a family of bakers. I don't come from a family of housing specialists. That didn't even exist back when this name Holmes was derived. But people end up just gravitating towards jobs that align with their names.
Just like they end up gravitating towards dogs that look like them.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. And you don't know whether they chose the dog or whether the dog came to look more like them. Yeah, it's a chicken
it's
and
so
egg thing.
It's so confusing.
People don't know what it is. Nominative determinism. You got it. Nominative determinism is the thing. And prat means two different things. It means a punch in the ass. A punch.
I was like, it's a punch right at the tuchus.
Oh, P-R-A-T-T. Punch right at the And so it's a punch right at the tuchus, and it is an idiot. It's a dumb person. It is someone who's not smart. Chris Pratt.
The Pratt attack.
Is that
Pratt-a-tat.
Is the Pratt-a-tat-tat, is that your new nickname for him, or is that getting punched in the ass? Because he's punched the entertainment world in the ass
many times.
I feel like I don't even need to tell people because they're probably already going to know. But well, one of the reasons we're doing this podcast is it was just announced he's going to be the voice of Garfield as well as Mario, which to me is like if, you had Star Wars and Star Trek starring the same guy. You'd be like, those are similar, but I want to think they always exist in different worlds. You can't them both star the same person.
Sort of like, what's this guy that's always going to be playing young Patrick Stewart?
Oh, what's his face is doing that?
X-Men guy.
James McAvoy.
Yeah.
He was actually, I think he...
But I actually kind of like him.
I think he punched Chris Pratt in the ass in a movie once.
You've got to be kidding me. This can't be real.
It might not be, but it might be. I read something along those lines.
If it is, then I'll feel really important suddenly. I've accomplished something.
You're very important. So Chris Pratt, when he was young, knew he would be very important. They asked him when he was in the wrestling. He placed fifth in a high school wrestling tournament. So he's always been...
Oh, number five. He's never been number one.
He's never been number one. He is...
He's no James McAvoy, that's for damn sure.
He is one of the epitomes, and this is one of the reasons why I think he's so popular. He is one of the current epitomes of the mediocre white dude getting the number one spot. Like, everyone gathers around and lifts up the guy who isn't really that great. They're threatened by the guy who's great. Excellence makes people feel jealous, makes people feel competitive. But you take this guy who's like, yeah, he's not the best. Yeah, I like that guy. You know what? Let's give him the job. Like, very much, they did some of this in this movie Office Space, where a guy just didn't do a great job at work, but that made him somehow more likable to the system.
And I gotta follow that tenant.
To be more
just be
below average?
Mediocre.
You work super hard and it's paying off to a degree, but it could pay off better. And
if I was just a little more mediocre, I think you're right.
Well, I'm not gonna get into it now because the listeners won't know what we're talking about, but there's at least one person at our job who is incredibly not smart and probably gets paid $300,000 a year, if not more. Maybe $500,000.
For mediocrity.
Yeah, and he's essentially the Dr. Phil of our place of work. Just, hey, you shouldn't do that. Whoa, brilliant advice. This guy's a genius. So speaking of that, Chris Pratt.
Jonathan's not bitter at all.
No, I'm a little salty today. So Chris Pratt said when he was wrestling, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but I know I'll be famous and I know I'll make a shit ton of money.
Oh.
So right. He's always had, that's
God,
the other piece of it.
And then it happened for him.
I know.
That's the worst part.
I know.
I was feeling so crappy just now because I'm like, well, no, you won't. And then I can't even say
no,
that.
No, he did. So he had the confidence and the mediocrity that these guys need. And I don't mean to make it so racial. Maybe this happens with other races. But being white enough, I think I'm allowed to say that white guys get away with this a lot more. Growing up, I can't even count how many mediocre white guys were just the number one star in the world. Oh, yeah. So many. The guy in a movie called Soul Man. What was his name? I can't remember. Chris Klein?
Oh, Chris Klein.
Chris Klein was a huge deal for a long time.
He looks like a pest to me. I don't mean to. Sorry, Chris Klein. I don't. I'm sure you're a nice guy, but you are mediocre.
Yeah, Chris Pratt is reportedly
it's a Chris thing.
Very nice as well. Yeah, a lot of just mediocre.
Are we sure he's nice? Let's move on. Let's move on.
We'll get to that. We've heard he is nice enough.
Well, but we can be the judge for ourselves.
So later, he dropped out of community college, and was a daytime stripper, and ended up homeless in Hawaii.
Oh, sounds like the life. Stripper homeless in Hawaii?
But he didn't really care. He said it was a pretty awesome place to be homeless. We just drank and smoked weed and worked minimal hours.
Says he slept in a van and in a tent on the beach. That sounds ideal.
We're reading a little bit about Chris Pratt's life for you, the listener. Just enough to cover gas, food, and fishing supplies. That's all the money he made. And he listened to Dr. Dre all the time. Just
he was
the
like,
most
all fish all day. Protein.
Then he started working at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company restaurant, where he was discovered by Chong from Cheech and Chong's daughter, Radon Chong.
What?
Who was in Commando, an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. She was like, this guy's got the shit I want in my movie. So she cast him in a movie called Cursed Part 3. I don't know if it's related to the other Cursed Part 1 and 2. It's a Radon Chong original. Hmm. And that kicked off his career.
That's insanity.
He later married Anna Faris, who is in the House Bunny in the Scary Movie series. Anna Faris, she's pretty
hilarious.
Good.
She's hilarious, yeah.
They split up. I blame Chris Pratt. It's probably his fault. Then he married...
Who breaks up with Anna Faris?
I know. For Katherine Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter, who Arnold Schwarzenegger, as I just said, was in a movie with Radon Chong, so I don't know if that's how they met. No, they met in church, I think.
Yeah.
And she is the daughter of a Kennedy, I think. Katherine Schwarzenegger. Yep.
Wait.
Maria Shriver, who married Arnold Schwarzenegger, is JFK's daughter.
Oh, that's right.
So he married into the Schwarzenegger and Kennedy families all through working at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory at age 19.
Jeez.
After being a temporarily homeless, pot-smoking, fishing, fifth place wrestler.
Wrestling champ in high school.
Yes.
A real Al Bundy type that just hit it right.
Yeah, so we were getting away from this kind of guy dominating Hollywood for a little bit. It seemed like we were getting more movies starring women. Action movies even. Starring Asian people. Black people. All sorts of people. But Chris Pratt has been, for a lot of people, who they hold on to for that good old days feeling.
Yeah.
Of remember when everywhere you looked, the default was just average white guy. And the video game world has suffered from this a whole lot. I'm going to show you a picture on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
This is a picture of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times 6. 36 scruffy white guys. And they're all from video games.
They're all looking like Chris Pratt in some fashion.
A little bit. There's Nathan Drake. There's Chris Redfield from Resident Evil. There is Solid Snake. There's Max Payne. There's the guy from the Bionic Commando reboot, except they cut out his dreadlocks, I think. It's amazing.
They all have like a brow, kind of furrowed brow, like
sure.
Low brow.
Alan Wake, Booker, something, something. This guy from Heavy Rain, he's always looking for his kids.
This one doesn't look like Chris Pratt. That's not a Chris Pratt.
No, there's one guy who looks a little bit mousier. So video games have had this problem where every guy looked like this for a long time. I'd say all through the 2010s, up until just recently when games like Overwatch that had a lot of diversity, it's fantasy diversity, but it's still the attempted diversity in terms of their playable characters. It's women of color, it's like big muscular women and like smaller men and all sorts of different body types and shades and different sexual preferences as well. That's got a lead character who is a woman who's attracted to women. That wasn't happening for a long time. It was just this.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that want to hold on to this. And when I say this, I mean this picture of all these mediocre white guys. Chris Pratt is the way to hold on to that. And I want people to stop. I want someone to stop Chris Pratt.
So this is the thing.
Yes.
We're going to still get this diversity in movies.
Yeah.
But they're not going to put the population of diverse characters in movies such as Garfield or Mario. Because they're wanting these to be blockbuster. They're going to default to Chris Pratt.
So it wasn't, I hear what you're saying 100%. We were moving away from that though. One of the biggest movies of 2021 was Shang-Chi, which had a hilarious Awkwafina performance and lovable. She was like the co-star of that movie. An Asian woman comedian. There was Margaret Cho who ended up having to do a lot of jokes about how I'm Asian, and she did like her Asian mom voice. So Awkwafina, my point is, she's the kind of person who I see her starring in her own superhero movie in maybe 5 or 6 years. That would have never happened when I was growing up. Margaret Cho is the only Asian woman comedian I can think of growing up, and half of her act was doing a voice that I'm not going to imitate because it'll make me sound racist. But she could get away with imitating her mom and do a very stereotypical Asian immigrant accent, which was a way of connecting with racists who are like, oh, they do sound funny. Yeah, you know, and I think she's actually apologized for some of that stuff because it was unintentionally reinforcing some stereotypes about the way Asian folks speak. That said, I've heard a lot of nerds get super duper mad about Shang-Chi, about Black Widow, about Captain Marvel, about now Eternals coming out. Mm-hmm. So this is video game adjacent. This is how nerd stuff, superheroes, have now dominated the mainstream culture through Marvel movies. But they're mad at these movies that have a diversity quotient. And they say or refuse to see them. They will see Guardians of the Galaxy, though, because stars Chris Pratt. And there's one black woman in it, and she is painted green, so you don't have to think about the fact that she's black.
Yeah.
There's an Asian woman, but she's got antenna, like a bug. Yeah. So
they're aliens. They're not just people.
No,
they look different.
They're literal aliens. Yeah. The few people of color, and Batista is in that. I think he's a white dude. But yeah, he's covered in makeup and crap.
Yeah, too. I was going to say, he's blue? I can't remember.
He's grayish.
Yeah.
He's grayish. So, interestingly enough, Chris Pratt's character in Guardians of the Galaxy, Star-Lord, Peter Quill, in the comics, is bisexual.
Oh.
And they just made a Guardians of the Galaxy game. People were pretty excited about it. The version of Star-Lord in that looks a bit like Chris Pratt, but they changed it enough.
Is that character bisexual too?
No! Only in the comics will they let people be gay or bisexual. There's apparently like one queer character in Eternals, maybe two.
Hmm.
But already people are mad about that and saying, oh, it's forced diversity and blah, blah, blah. Chris Pratt, on the other hand, I wonder if he would even play Star-Lord if they got into his bisexuality, because he goes to a church where I think he met Catherine Kennedy Shriver Schwarzenegger, and rumor has it, people believe that church is pretty anti-queer. And Chris Pratt himself has said, I would never go to a church that's anti-queer. Everyone's invited to our church. But
didn't he?
Did he?
Didn't what? He do something?
Do what?
Oh, he was on Parler.
Oh, and then he joined Parler.
So that kind of clues you in.
But then he says, ooh, just because I like everybody. Parler, for those who don't know, was the social media site that was made pretty much strictly for right-wing folks, regressive folks, who didn't want anything to do with progressive media. So we're sick of Twitter. Twitter banned Trump just because he was inciting riots. That's not fair. Let's go to Parler, where you can incite all the riots you want.
Where you could be a member. You could be like, I'm part of Parler. Or you could be like, I'm going to Parler.
That's exactly right. He joined Parler. He had like 100 followers on there. I think Parler might not even be open anymore. But yeah, he's done these things that make people worry about his political leanings and his beliefs. That said, every report I've heard from folks who have worked with Chris Pratt, I know some people in the entertainment industry who have been on sets with him and whatnot, say really down-to-earth guy, nice guy. That's why he keeps getting cast for these down-to-earth, nice guy roles, because he actually was like a homeless bum for a little bit. And when I say bum, I don't mean someone who was struggling to make it. He was like deciding to not even try for a while, as he said by his own account.
However,
so, yes,
can we talk about whether or not he's a nice guy?
Sure, let's talk more about that.
Because I happen to do a little digging, and I didn't have to dig very far to understand a little bit about Chris Pratt's character.
Oh, what do you got there?
So on Instagram, and this was just one day ago as of the time.
And his Instagram name is Pratt.
So
there's something not right about that.
It's kind of like me.
me.
He's like, guys. He has a picture. First off, the picture is of him and his wife, and she is looking at him, and he's looking at the camera. So immediately, it's like, this is a picture of me.
Right. And my wife is also looking at me. You're looking at me.
Everybody's looking at me. It's all about me. She's smiling at me like I'm the best.
Yep. And this
she's my side piece in this. She's just an accessory in this photo.
10,000 comments on this post. My Lord. Oh, yeah, and Terry Crews loves it. Terry's got some problems.
Maria
as well.
Shriver, she can't agree more with him, but let's I digress.
Yes, what does Chris Pratt say on Instagram?
He goes, guys, for real, look at how she's looking at me. I mean, find you somebody that looks at you like that.
You know?
We met in church. There's your answer.
That's right. I was right about that.
She's given me an amazing life, a gorgeous, healthy daughter. She chews so loudly that sometimes I put my earbuds in to drown it out, but that's love. What?
I feel creeped out by a lot of that.
Okay.
Like, who cares if Let's your daughter dissect is healthy? This down. Like, yeah. She bred a healthy spawn for me. It
right.
It can walk and talk. I love my daughter because it functions. She chews
so loudly that sometimes I put in my earbuds to drown it out. So she's obnoxious, and I have to divert myself from her being annoying.
But she bred for me.
But she bred for me, so it's okay. And that's real love.
That was our editorializing, by the way.
No,
he says,
but that's love.
But that's love.
And then he goes, she helps me with everything. In return, periodically, I open a jar of pickles. That's the trade. That's what she gets.
And he's trying to be that lovable schlub Andy from Parks and Rec, Peter Quill, like, ooh.
I'm just an oaf, but I appreciate her.
There's a whole show about killing guys like that now called Kevin Can Fuck Himself.
Oh,
about a sitcom wife wanting to murder her schlubby sitcom husband.
I mean, if that face doesn't say murder, then I don't know what.
And my understanding is, and when you said that face, you just zoomed in on Katherine Schwarzenegger. Is her name? She wrote a book, my understanding is, about loving yourself and being confident even if you aren't pretty. And she is the daughter of a Schwarzenegger and a Kennedy.
Yeah.
Her writing an underdog book about life can be tough, ugly kids, but if you take it from me, a Kennedy and a Schwarzenegger, maybe things will turn out good for you anyway. She had everything going for her anyway. Sorry about that. Now she's married to Chris Pratt. And he says...
To Pratt. And he says, her heart is pure and it belongs to me. Nothing says romance like ownership, guys. My greatest treasure right next to my Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card.
And he's joking, but you don't think of jokes like that unless you kind of mean it.
Yeah, like, why would you compare a human being to a to a baseball card. It's he's tough. Like, oh, he's like, oh, what's more valuable?
And while she's
sort of
the camera.
She's sort of akin to it, but next.
She think this was hilarious?
He goes, which if you know, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, he's driving that home. He's going.
He's going like, by the way, that Ken Griffey Jr. Upper Deck rookie card. Whoa.
Yeah, still loving it.
It's her birthday in about 6 weeks. Can't remember. So if I don't get her anything, I'll tell her to look back on this post. Wow, what a dick.
Yeah, I mean, again, for some reason he thinks what's good is to do a passive-aggressive comedy roast of his wife on Instagram.
Where she's just looking at him in the picture, like...
Yeah, I mean, I don't... He was married to Anna Faris. She put up with his BS and, like, nursed him back to health when he was being a dummy. I think he had a substance abuse issue, and she, like, helped him through that, actually. That's not being a dummy. That's just being sick. But I think she helped him through that.
She's fucking...
And then he dropped her like a bad habit.
Anna Faris is reading this, laughing her ass off. You know, like, Anna, stoked.
I hope she
like the
feels
way,
like
the
she
way
dodged
I would
bullet.
Feel about my ex-husband if I saw him with somebody.
There's a lot of speculation on my part. Maybe Chris and Anna Faris were great and great to each other, and it was just irreconcilable differences. They have a daughter together. He didn't talk about that healthy daughter. Just talking.
Wow, only one daughter matters.
I guess. Chris Pratt.
Oh, Pratt.
You're getting
okay.
me.
Okay, so Catherine Schwarzenegger responded, oh, wow. It's only when I'm eating cereal, in all capitals, but I love you. That was to his, she chews loudly. Other people are commenting things like, this is the best, beautiful, all of it.
So here's the reality of it, folks. It's fine. It's a little annoying. If this was a good friend of mine who did that post, I'd be like, little cringy, but sure. I know that you're nice to your wife and that you're just doing a bad joke. People aren't perfect. Chris Pratt is not the devil because he's done some bad posts. He's not a great guy either necessarily because of some of the other stuff he's done, particularly around his allegiance with a church that is anti-queer from what all can tell. But... Well, you just liked Y2K Grandma, whose comment was, the bar is so low for men. It is often low for men, but not all men. The actual voice of Mario, Charles Martinet, who I met briefly once and really upset. And the video is
of
no longer.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Who haven't you upset? Will Wheaton? Mario?
I did upset both
Come
of those
on.
Folks. Will Wheaton I never talked to. I was just on a block list for some reason. But Charles Martinet, I met him at E3. He was just walking around. I got all excited. I was like, Charles, will you be in a video? Yeah, you can do the voice of Mario? And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So we got the camera set up real quick, just in the middle of the aisle as E3 was closing. And I was like, it's a you? And he went, it's a me. And I went, holy shit. And then he went, no, you can't use that. Because he doesn't want any of his appearances, any of his voice acting to be associated with anything that's not kid appropriate. So we're like, okay, we won't use it. But we did use it. But we bleeped out the shit for Charles. We bleeped out the shit for Charles. You're upset at me a little bit. You're making a face. Charles was fine.
But Charles is okay. he said respect me.
And I didn't.
And you didn't.
Well, I did and I didn't. I cut out the bleep, which is the part he had a problem with. We didn't get to have an editorial meeting with Charles afterwards about how we were gonna handle his request. We did our best to meet our request while still painting Charles in what I thought.
It was a really fun light. But that's not what he wanted.
That's true. I went against Charles Martinet's consent, and I apologize, Charles, if you're listening.
Thank you.
I did the wrong thing, Charles.
We're always learning and growing on this show.
Yeah, I mean, this was a while ago. Would I do that today? Maybe. But yeah. Not anymore, now that Tanya made a sad face. And everyone around me was like, that's awesome! But you, Tanya, have the heart and soul of an angel, and you knew... Morally, that was the wrong thing to
do. I don't blame him.
He managed to break through a pretty serious barrier to get a big mainstream role of Mario, the most popular video game character in the world. I believe it was in the early 90s. It was one of the first Mario games after Mario World. I think it was one of the CD-ROM ones. And then Mario 64, he started doing the voice, which is, I think, one of the most famous voice acting performances of all time.
Definitely.
High-pitched? I would have never thought to go high-pitched for Mario, you know? But with a lot of, like going up and down a lot, really bringing tons of range. And now that I'm thinking about it, Mario is constantly jumping up and down and going up and down platforms and whatnot. He brought that feeling to the performance of, here we go, you know, fantastic. But with that...
That was actually really good, Jonathan.
And that's the
other
thing.
Have you been practicing?
I have not. Thank you. That's very kind of you. It is the kind of voice everyone feels like they can do a little bit.
But I don't think a lot of people can. And worst remains to be seen about Chris Pratt.
Well, I don't think Chris Pratt's even going to try. So Charles Martinet made an everyman character and a vocal performance that everyone relates to, everyone understands and enjoys that I've ever heard. I've heard a lot of people complain about Mario. I've never heard somebody say, well, the voice is the problem. Everyone's like, well, the voice is fun. And it's in everything. Chris Pratt bumped him. And it's not the first time. Chris Pratt, we talked about Garfield already. Did you know that Chris Pratt was originally set to star in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie? I'm going to show you.
This is a speaking show, and I had nothing to say.
Yeah, we gotcha. Chris Pratt, Sonic.
There was like lots of...
There he is.
Oh my God.
So he was going to be...
Who does he look like there?
The lovable blue-collar cop in Nevada or something with Sonic the Hedgehog, who looked really weird in this movie because this movie...
He sort of looks like Daisy, my cat.
He does look a little bit like a cat, but his eyes aren't supposed to be separate like that. You don't know the whole backstory, but they originally released the Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer and fans freaked out because it looked... nothing like the character they loved, and it just looked darn creepy. I mean, I'm showing you. I Googled Sonic teeth, hoping that would be the first thing. So it went from this.
Yep.
To this.
Okay.
For those who are wondering what we're looking at, you've probably seen this picture before. Original movie Sonic, who has human teeth.
Dear Lord.
And eyes that are fully separated. About a human's eyes distance apart from each other and a wet dog nose. They switched it to Sonic features, no human teeth. And that movie was actually hit. They also got rid of Chris Pratt and replaced him with James Marsden. But rumor has it that wasn't because Chris Pratt was not chosen. It was because Chris Pratt was busy with other projects. He was making Passengers and all sorts of movies that didn't do super well. He's the face of Jurassic Park now,
too.
Oh,
yeah, big time.
You know that, and we already talked about Guardians of the Galaxy, so he was almost the human in Sonic the Hedgehog. He will be Mario, he will be Garfield, he will be in another Jurassic Park, and he's going to be in the next Thor movie and the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
There's a holiday special?
Coming, yep.
This year?
Nope. I think it's going to come out next year, and then Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming out the year after that.
Do you ever think about these types of projects and wonder if we'll even be here
by then? Oh, if I'll survive?
If we're all going to be alive?
Well, just me personally. I often wonder.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, will we even be alive for that?
So far, we've lived for it, but we might die. Who knows?
Those types of really bleak... holiday thoughts cross my mind.
Yeah, and you embrace them.
Yeah, I'm like, it'll be fun to find out if we make it that long for the Chris Pratt franchise. I have an answer to your question.
What was my question?
Chris Pratt's Mario voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you have a clip of it?
Oh, yeah, I have a clip of him.
I can't wait to hear it.
A clip of him saying, it's-a-me Mario.
Oh, man. Is it going to be as good as Charles Martinet's?
Oh, we'll find out.
I can't wait to find out. I'm worried and cautiously optimistic.
Well, he's going to talk for a hot minute, too. Look at all this stuff. This is just so dumb.
Is this Chris Pratt talking?
Yep.
Lake Stevens, Washington. And there's this coin-operated laundromat near my house. And it had Super Mario Brothers, the original arcade game. Oh, I love that game. I never had a quarter, it felt like. I'd either steal them from the wishing well, you know, That's wild.
What is this? This
just dawned on me right now. The quarter I stole out of the wishing well to play Super Mario Brothers has come true that I get to be the voice of Mario. But I clearly stole someone else's wish, so just waiting for that row of karma dominoes to come crashing down on me. But as it is right now, it's a me, a Mario. That's not the voice. You'll have to wait to hear the voice, but we've been working hard at it, and now it's that I'm going to be the voice of that video game that I dreamed about playing as a kid. Dreams come true.
That's it.
So
you haven't heard that? You haven't seen that video, have you?
Oh man, doing that everyman schlub, doing some light crimes, you know, stealing some, but it's from a wishing well. But hey, you know, it's gonna come back to bite me one of these days. But the good news is, I've got the biggest role in video game history now, so...
It's a me.
Yeah, just your average guy married to a Schwarzenegger Kennedy in every blockbuster. Just Joe Everyman there. It's very... So, I'm going to end the episode with some theories about why is this happening? Because maybe if we understand why this is happening, we can find a way to stop it. You posited earlier, Tanya, that... It's because people want the mainstream audience. So you get a guy who looks and acts like most people in the country, and then most of the people in the country will like it. But as far as I know, white dudes are a majority-minority in the country now. So it's really not the way to get most people. I think that it's more about... not liking the thing you're even working on.
Mm.
I think that, and I forgot he also, Chris Pratt starred in the Lego movie. So when people were
we
need to make a movie about Legos? That's not a movie. That's a literal block. That's just a brick. We have to make movies about bricks?
I have to say, I also feel like he is distancing himself from doing any real heavy acting work. Like, he's like, I can make a voice, but I'm not going to be on film for it. Like, I'm going to hide behind, you know, special effects.
He got in great shape for Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't think he liked it exactly. Before that, he was not a big exercise guy. So you're right. He doesn't want to have to live up to that image. I don't think if he doesn't have to, but I don't think people want him for real acting jobs.
That's correct. And I think that whose fault is that? Chris Pratt?
It's Chris Pratt's acting's fault. And he's not a bad actor. He's just not a great actor. He's not shown much range.
That's the thing. He's not challenging himself. He's chasing the fucking money, Jonathan,
But the question is, Tanya, is why are they like, let's get Chris Pratt to play Mario and Garfield? Again, to me, that's like...
At the same time.
Yeah, to me, that is like if you hired, Pauly Shore to star in both the new Star Wars and the new Star Trek. You'd be like, this is very confusing and bad. And he's not good at voices, so it's not like he's going to wow you with how different he sounds as Mario and Garfield. We're just going to have a generation of kids who think Mario and Garfield are essentially the same person, Chris Pratt. So I think the reason is when you don't like your project, the people who are making that Sonic the Hedgehog movie, a lot of people behind that movie clearly didn't like Sonic the Hedgehog, which is why they turned him into a human-toothed, demon rat thing. And the people making the Lego movie, they did a good job of that movie, but my understanding is they were initially like, how the heck are we going to make a movie about children's bricks? When you don't like your material, you think, well, we got to get something about this that people are going to accept. So let's get the most acceptable but also sort of sucky guy. Like, this project is going to suck. It kind of aligns. Like, we're taking the humble route. We don't think the Lego movie is going to win any Oscars. Though it might have, actually. I think about it. It's a pretty good movie. So let's just, like, aim low. Aim for the lowest common denominator, like you're saying, Tanya. But also kind of own our shittiness. That's my best guess right now. That they're thinking... A Mario movie, that is clearly a bad idea. So let's get Chris Pratt. Another Garfield movie?
Chris Pratt. I was reading an article about Bill Murray's involvement in the Garfield movie. I believe he signed up because he thought it was a different Coen.
That's right.
Involved in writing the script.
He thought it was the Coen brothers who did Big Lebowski, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
He thought, but well, they're making a Garfield movie, sure.
So, and then he found out, oh, I wonder what it was like for him to walk into that room. Oh, fuck, I already signed the contract.
But if you...
You got to do your due diligence.
You do, Bill Murray. And you know who hates Bill Murray is the Redneck Tonberry.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, Bill Murray, I think, has been beloved, but I'm not sure for what reasons.
There's not a lot of evidence that he's a super nice guy either, Bill Murray. He can be a real cantankerous... he got in a lot of
self-absorbed
fights.
Self-absorbed kind of prick.
Yeah, him and Harold Ramis, who I liked a lot, did not get along on future Ghostbusters projects, which is part of why that series didn't end up continuing. But now I'm on a Bill Murray tangent. We're going to wrap on Chris Pratt. So my theory again, and I'm going to get your opinion on it, and also your thoughts, honey, on how we can undo the Chris Prattness of our culture, video games and movies being taken over by Chris Pratt. My theory again is that when these people have a project that they don't believe in, they get Chris Pratt because he is a movie star and an everyman with that kind of...
He's homogenous.
He's homogenous, but also he's aiming the bar low. He's almost Adam Sandler-esque. And it's like, well, this is knowingly lowbrow, so no one's going to be disappointed when it's not genius. Because we got Chris Pratt. What'd you expect, you know?
I can't imagine that many people are doing this project because they are so inspired by Mario. Or that they fucking love Garfield. Like, they're like, this is amazing. We're going to set up a sweet Italian shop. Or is this going to be lasagna? I mean, Normal's going to go to Abu Dhabi. Is Normal a girl? Is Normal a boy? Nobody knows.
That's a good point. I wonder if they'll get into that. And I wonder if Chris Pratt will be upset.
Yeah.
If they end up doing some genderqueer stuff with Normal. I hope they do.
I could see Chris Pratt being, what's his name? The
John?
John.
He'd be a great John.
He'd be a great John.
Just like
John Arbuckle, yeah.
just the least interesting guy in the world.
Exactly.
John Arbuckle.
He was cast so incorrectly for this.
He should have been John Arbuckle. I think John Arbuckle drank dog cum once. Do you know about that? There's a comic strip, and this is from memory, so forgive me, listeners, if I'm getting this wrong, where John Arbuckle...
I'm yet again speechless. You should see my face.
He's dating a vet. And he goes to the vet's office. I think Odie and Garfield are there. And he's small talking, not really paying attention to what he's doing. He grabs a cup of a white substance and drinks it because he thinks it's like a milkshake.
Ooh.
And then the vet says something like, well, that was the dog's reproductive sample or something like that, implying that it's semen. That I would pay to see Chris Pratt. As long as it's real dog semen. And as long as he doesn't know it's coming, that would be a fun
episode. He doesn't know it's coming.
It's coming.
Whoa.
We did it. So yeah. Any thoughts on how to undo the Chris Prattness? If you don't have any ideas, that's okay. We can challenge the listeners to let us know how they would undo the Chris Prattness of the world.
I mean, oh, God, just don't hire him. I mean, honestly, how can we as a group of people do it?
I guess the movies have to fail.
The movies have to fail, yeah.
And that hasn't happened yet. I'm trying to think. Passengers did bad. No, I think almost every Chris project has done pretty good.
So the problem is, too, is that when we are talking about Chris Pratt in this way, people, we're generating interest.
In Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're sort of fucking ourselves up here.
But that interest can be channeled into a lot of different things. I recently listened to an interesting podcast about confrontational politics.
Yeah.
Which is the way to get the world to change.
So?
Here's how you do it. You have to kiss a lot of ass.
Okay.
And get people in power to talk about you in a positive way. Or you need to get people in power to talk about you in a negative way. And that even more strongly builds your signal and your power base and your influence. And when it comes to politics, apparently in most primary elections or midterm elections are not the big ones. not the big elections that bring out all the people, only about 24% of the population votes. And then 8% of them are voting for whatever their party is. So Republican, Democrat, 2% vote for like write-ins or a third party that's never going to win. And then that leaves you with about 6%. Mm-hmm. And if you get 4% of that 6% to vote for your party's going to win. So you really only need to get 4% of the population on your side in order to win an election.
So we need to get 4% of the population away from Chris Pratt.
We need to get Chris Pratt to talk about how he hates this podcast. He'll never do it now that he knows that we're asking him to do it. But maybe he will do it because he watched me on Road Rules or something. And he'll be like, the Road Rules guy doesn't like my acting? Fuck him. I'm going to challenge him to a lumberjack match or some
an axe wielding. Do you know what I was thinking? Just like a lots of gay fan fiction about Chris Pratt, just to divert, like just to pull the attention away from the movies and have everybody go for the gay fan fiction.
That's a great idea. What if there was a deep fake of Chris Pratt in a Mario costume having sex with Chris Pratt
as Garfield?
I mean, not only would that be fine art, but that would really bother Chris Pratt and maybe get people...
People just go for, like, just be creative with him. Take it, own it, own Chris Prattness. be the Pratt.
Be the Pratt.
But, you know, put it out there artistically.
Is that what Chris Pratt's doing? You lost me on the be the Pratt because we want to un-Pratt the world. We don't want to be more Pratts, but we want to Pratt...
But if we take the Pratt and own it ourselves...
Yeah, we want to
take the power away from the Pratt.
We want to do to Pratt what he does to us. We want to punch him in the ass.
Yeah.
And get him out of here.
Right in the tuchus.
Punch right at.
At the tuchus.
Chris Pratt's the symptom of systemic problems that promote mediocre men to fail upwards. Imagine if Chris Pratt would help us to solve them, but that'll never happen. Well, thanks for listening to this Chris Pratt special, everyone. We jammed it out just as fast as we could, and we really spoke from the heart, really made ourselves vulnerable on this one, taking a chance on a Chris Pratt special. If you want more of things from me, geez, just did a new Boston's Favorite Son. It was our 50th episode special. I don't remember anything that happened on it, but people seem to think it was kind of funny, which was nice. You can find that on SoundCloud. I just drew a picture of Stephanie Sterling, Conrad Zimmerman, and Willem Dafoe as the non-specific action figure for the next issue.
Did you put that out in the world
yet? I haven't colored it yet. Yeah, I just drew it.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see it.
I lettered it sort of poorly. I'm going to have to finish that lettering job on the computer, fix up some of my A's and my Q's.
Did you put the Pratt performance into
Chris
that?
Pratt's in it too, actually. I just realized Ryan Reynolds, Chris Pratt, Stephanie Sterling, Conrad Zimmerman, non-specific action figure, and Willem Dafoe are all in a new comic that I drew for the December issue of Nintendo Force. Plenty of time to subscribe to that. It's a one of a kind. So I do a lot of stuff. And not all of it's as good as I want it to be. In fact, none of it is. Some of it, frankly, I look at it and think, no one's going to like this, I'm sorry. But it is unlike anything else you can get anywhere else.
Yeah.
You will not find a comic strip of this nature anywhere else, online or offline, in the world. So subscribe to Nintendo Force. I'm still writing for Destructoid here and there, planning to maybe write something about Samus, who we talked about on the show not that long ago. Her new game really profiles her experience with trauma in a really interesting way. So maybe writing about that for Destructoid, or just writing some stuff about Nintendo or voice chat, or who knows?
Voice chat.
Yeah, okay. Voice chat. Nintendo doesn't like voice chat.
Okay.
But people want them to like it. Yeah. Every time they use it, though, nobody likes it.
I see. Well, we're gonna read your article.
Yeah, I'm going to turn that into a 10,000 word expose. Thesis.
Wow.
And I guess that's about it for us.
Yeah, we'll be back soon.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
Bye.